Lucian out.
Welcome to the 99% Podcast.
You're Michael McAndrew.
And you're Lucien Wadaly.
How are you getting on, Michael?
I'm good. How was your week?
I've had a perfectly nice week if it wasn't for this darn rain.
The 99% Podcast, if you don't know, if you're listening for the very first time, is the podcast. We like to say it's the podcast for the rest of us.
We do.
99%
indeed.
Of the world. Each week we sit down to discuss the things that affect us in society.
Technology, politics,
culture,
pop culture,
yeah,
sports.
Sports? Are we doing sports?
We can in theory. We could do sports.
Sounds interesting. Okay. I'm not a big sports guy, but
neither am I. So let's not do sports.
Well, I don't know if you want to get right into an interview or if you want to have a bit of a discussion.
Well. I was at a very interesting music event this week by an excellent young band called Future Etc. Have you heard of this band, Michael?
You know, yeah, I have heard of them. I'm actually in the band.
Oh my God! Seriously, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, so
because you were wearing that Mickey Mouse mask, so I didn't notice.
I wasn't wearing any masks, but yeah, thanks very much for coming along. By the way. It's good fun.
Oh, no problem. It was good fun.
Like a great pub gig. We were playing for like three and three quarter hours. It was a long gig. We started at about 9:30. We finished at about 1:45 in the morning.
I was out of there by 11:05.
Yeah, you were.
But I loved what I saw.
Yeah, the crowd started getting like. Once you left, you left, everyone was like, "Yeah, Lucy's got another medicine." No, the crowd got drunker and drunker, and like towards the end, it was just mad. It was the energy was fantastic. We had a great crowd, and I don't know if anybody listening has any experience gigging or whatever, but the better the crowd, the easier your gig is. If you have a tough crowd, it's super difficult to get through a gig. So we had a great crowd. It just kept on getting busier and busier as the night went along. So we had a really easy time. So I was playing guitar. My younger brother is on the drums. Kevin is a fantastic drummer. Oh my God.
He really is.
He's such a good drummer.
It's fantastic.
And of course, a friend of ours, John Tierney, up and coming singer-songwriter.
Did he perform any original music at the gig?
He didn't. He has a few original songs, but he wanted to. It was more of a cover gig. It was more, he didn't want to do any originals. But maybe if he's doing any gigs in the future, he might do some originals. But John is great, great guitarist, great singer, and he organized the gig. He asked us to come along, so we did, and it was great fun. Mm-hmm. But A lot of work. People don't realize, I guess, that there's so much work that goes on before the gig and after the gig. The gig itself is the easiest part. It's the preparation beforehand, getting all the gear, and the worst part was probably like 1:10 in the morning, just ripping the whole thing down, getting in the car and going home. So, but it was great fun.
There was a great, great variety of music as well. A lot of things to keep the Irish pub crowd happy.
Yeah, we kind of sat down. We were like, okay, what is the best music to play? So we obviously played like classics, Whiskey in the Jar.
But you snuck in some Black Keys and Uptown Funk.
Right.
After I left, there was some Taylor Swift and the National Anthem.
There was. So the National Anthem was very... That was the last, obviously, song. We did Johnny Be Good from the movie. That was made famous from Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
But We also did, yes, we did Uptown Funk. You were there for Uptown Funk, right?
I loved your Uptown Funk.
Yeah,
best
so,
version I've heard.
You know, it's kind of interesting because we practiced that once before we played it. I didn't even know half the song, but it actually turned, and the one time we played it was really bad. but when we played it on the night, like, everyone was singing along, and it sounded really cool. I had like this octave thing, so it made my guitar sound like a bass guitar, and it was kind of cool. I liked it.
Oh, it was awesome. But, it was great.
Yeah, it was great fun. So that was the gig. So that was my.
So our listeners have to check you out on your world tour.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. It was a once off, really. It was a once off gig. It was just something that we, you know, I won't have time to do anymore. Do any more gigs, but yeah, it was good fun. So I guess we can go into an interview now. We have a really great guest this week.
We do. So our guest this week is Niall O'Toole, and Niall is running for general election next year in Michael and I's local constituency here in Galway in Ireland.
Yep.
And you know, he's quite coming from a unique place because he doesn't currently hold political office in Ireland. He's not in the city council or in the Senate. Right. And that's, I guess, quite unique for somebody running in a general election. But he has loads of experience the last few years. He worked on Stephen Donnelly's campaign. And he was, you know, huge involvement in the Yes Equality campaign here in Galway. So we went to visit him in his new office last week, and we talked to him about starting a political campaign, the current state of politics in Ireland, new political parties like Renew Ireland, the Social Democrats, and their role in the upcoming election, and Yes Equality, and all sorts of fascinating topics. So shall we play the interview, Michael?
I think we shall. Here's the interview now with Niall O'Toole.
So we're here with Niall O'Toole. Niall O'Toole is going to be running as a TD in the upcoming election, and you're also kind of a technology entrepreneur now. So I guess to start, it'd be very interesting to hear about your technology company that you have, Mobile Clipboard. Maybe start talking a bit about how that came to be.
Sure, love to, Michael. So I actually don't come from a technology background. I was one of those like 11-year-old kids who coded HTML, and point I wanted to set up my own tech company, but then I ended up going into kind of mathematics and business, and then so I've kind of come full circle back into technology. And so we design software, mobile apps, websites, working with a whole range of clients in Dublin and London and healthcare and news and media. And so we kind of bring a design lens to it, and also a business lens to it, and we design some really cool software.
That's very interesting. So you said that you didn't come from a technology background. What did you study in college, or was it any way related to technology at all?
A small bit. I did a bit of coding, and so I did a course called Management Science in Trinity. Okay. So it's kind of a mix of mathematics, a bit of programming. A bit of business, and like mostly optimization, mathematics, and statistics.
Mm-hmm. How do you find kind of being an entrepreneur in Ireland? How do you find that whole experience? Is it tough? Is there a lot of support there for entrepreneurs and businesses?
I think setting up a business any time is tough. I mean, like what you guys are doing, setting up the podcast is hard. It's hard to get these things off the ground.
Yeah.
You have to keep at it and keep working, and it kind of becomes an all-encompassing kind of passion. So I've been running the business for 2 years. We've had some great clients on board, and it's starting to pay its way. In Ireland, it's pretty good place to set up a business. I mean, there's a few things, particularly around some administrative complexities, that whenever you're kind of a one-man band, it's very hard to get all the paperwork done, and I think it'd be a lot easier if we could take away some of the administrative burdens from first time entrepreneurs getting things set up. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, it's a great supportive place to do business.
Right. So how does it kind of transition then? Because obviously, about 2 years ago was when you set up Mobile Clipboard. How does it transition into politics? Did you always have kind of an interest there?
I never wanted to be a politician.
Really?
So I've always been very driven by having a positive impact on society and trying to improve like the lives of people around me. And I just kind of always thought that politics was a bit too closed, a bit too dirty, that you couldn't make a difference. And so I went off to work in the private sector. I worked for a company called McKinsey. I just got to do some amazing things there. So like my very first conference call at McKinsey was with Kofi Annan, Desmond Tutu, and Mary Robinson. And we helped them build the Elders, this kind of group of Nobel Peace Prize winners and world statesmen. I did a lot of work in health systems around the world. I did a lot of work building up energy infrastructure. And then I was in Africa. I was living and working in Africa around the time of the bank guarantee and the bailout. And I just got very frustrated with what was happening. So I knew I had to do something. So I came back to Ireland. I had a friend, Stephen Donnelly, who was thinking of running for the Dáil. And in 5 weeks, we took him from no team, no money, no political experience to get him elected. And so I've been involved ever since, and now I'm very proud to be running here in Galway West.
I mean, your journey to reaching this point of running in the general election is quite unique, in that a lot of candidates would work their way up through the kind of the ladder of local government, which could take a really, you know, a large chunk of their career out of just trying to get up to this point. So do you see it as an advantage, as having come here much more kind of rapidly from your start in your political career?
There's advantages and disadvantages. So one of the big challenges of running for the Dáil is that you have to go out and talk to 100,000 voters. And that's a very hard thing to do in a short period of time. And if you just do it by yourself and with a small team, it's impossible. So you have to, if you're going to do it and you're not just going to waste everyone's time, you have to get a team who believe in you, like who believe in what you're fighting for. And you have to get them involved. So we have a team that's coming up close to 100 volunteers now. We'll keep growing that, and soon enough we'll be going out knocking on doors and getting the message out there. And we'll, between now and the election, we'll be talking to as many people as we can, and hopefully that'll be enough to win a seat.
Was your decision to run for general election more influenced by your work on the Stephen Donnelly campaign or in the Yes Equality campaign, which is a lot more recent?
I think both. I mean, so there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the Dáil around investing in our public services, around building communities, around improving our economy, and there's a lot of stuff there that I want to work on, and I want to kind of move us towards a more kind of Nordic model of high quality, accessible public services, strong economy, building our communities. So all of the, like, that politically is where I am. So I'm kind of like center left Nordic model. The Yes Equality campaign was just a human rights issue that I think, ideally it wouldn't have gone to a referendum. I think it's a very worrying precedent when you have a majority vote for a minority rights issue. And I just had all this experience of running campaigns, and so I wanted to put that to use. And so we ran a great campaign here in Galway. We got 200 volunteers involved. We knocked on 45,000 doors, and we walked enough miles to get to China. So I just wanted to make sure that there was no chance that we didn't do our part here in Galway to get a good yes vote.
So when you were involved in that campaign and you were talking to that many people in Galway and in, you know, further, did you learn a lot about kind of attitudes of people in our society, be it towards minorities, towards sort of separation of church and state, these kind of issues than you hadn't known about previously?
I think every time you go out canvassing, it's such an honour to go out and talk to lots of people from all sections of society. Because often when you kind of enclose yourself in your bubble of friends and family, you can kind of think that the whole world thinks like you. And so when you go out and knock on doors at random, like suddenly you find out that lots of people have lots of different views about things, and it's just a great education in the country and how it's feeling and what different people think about different things. So you get a great feeling about what people care about. And I think, I mean, a lot of people cared about like the right of the LGBT community to get married, and lots of people supported that. And it was just a great result. And I'm hoping as well that when we go out and talk to people around investing in our public services and building community and kind of strengthening our economy at the same time, that people will be receptive to that too.
It seemed when the result came out that a much younger demographic than would usually be involved in politics kind of got involved and were enthusiastic about the campaign. And it seems coming up to the general election that all of the major parties and candidates will be trying to kind of capture this voting bloc and get their attention and their enthusiasm. So how are you going to tackle that in your own personal campaign?
Yeah, I mean, the parties are still trying to figure out what exactly happened with the Yes campaign, because it surprised them how it kind of took off. And my own take on it is that it's the first time in a long time that people were so positive about what they were voting for. And I think unless the reason why the parties have the established parties will struggle a bit to engage those guys again because you need to have a vision for society that people can buy into and want to see happen. And when you're not talking about where the country is going, what the long term plans are, it's very hard to engage someone who's young and won't really want to talk too much about the day-to-day like blocking and tackling of politics. And so I think we have to elevate the level of discussion and talk about what direction our country is going and how we're going to get there.
So I guess there's been, especially since the financial crash, there's been a lot of distrust in politicians and cynicism even up just about kind of tax paying and about what actually happens with what people's taxes are being spent on if they're going towards public services. So is there a solution to tackling this cynicism amongst the public?
I think we have to rebuild trust in politics and in our public services. And there's just been there have been so many mistakes made in recent history that it's very hard for people to trust politics and politicians. I mean, I certainly don't. I want to see a much higher standard of politics, and I want to get people more involved in public service. And I think until you get good people, there's two ways you can go about this. I mean, one is you can just say they're all the same and that nothing will change and there's no point in getting involved, or you can say I'm going to do something about this. And that's what I want to do. So I want to get involved, not because I want to be a politician, but because I desperately want to see the politics of Ireland change. And so that's what I'm trying to do to kind of tackle this cynicism.
Yeah, so I guess what's next now for you? I mean, you have obviously the technology company still there. You have this new political career. Have you decided yet what takes kind of priority for you in the future? Because obviously you'll be really busy with this political campaign. Do you continue running your business as well?
Yeah, well, I also have a 2-year-old son and another one on the way in October.
Wow.
So I'm hoping I'm hoping that Enda Kenny will give us until next year to run the election.
Sure, sure.
That'll be very helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, like, my family take first precedence.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the moment, I'm very focused on the campaign. So I'm still, my business is still running kind of like in the background, maybe at 10% of what it would be normally.
Right.
But I don't want to, for this not to happen because I didn't give it everything. So between now and the election, I'm going to be giving this my everything I can to make sure that Galway gets a good representation in it all.
Perfect. Just to ask you about your opinion on something. So it's both as kind of a result of the recession and something that's topical right now. There's been the news about the Ireland taking in the migrants in the Mediterranean, and I've seen both in the media and online there's been a lot of sort of resentment that tax money is being spent on helping non-nationals that is developing into racism a lot. And I've been kind of shocked by the reaction to this. So how do you feel about tax money that people think is very, very sparse being spent on issues like this?
I think in the grand scheme of things, it's quite small in terms of our spend. There's a big misperception around kind of where our money goes to, and like people's perceptions of where tax money goes to is a bit different. So I think like the kind of money we're talking about is quite small. I think we have a moral duty to help people who aren't as like these people who are desperately trying to find a better life for ourselves, in Ireland. We've traveled for generations, and we've relied on the goodwill of people abroad. And I think it'd be terrible of us now that we are in a better position not to give people the same welcome. I think one issue that I care a lot is a deep reform of our asylum seeking, of how asylum seekers are dealt with. This direct provision system, I think, is very wrong, and especially when you have people in limbo for 10 years. I think through all the things that I've done over the last 10 years, and if I had to replace all of that with being in a hostel, getting like 19 euros a week to live on, and like not being able to work, not being able to develop yourself, not being able to look after your family properly, I just think that's very wrong and needs to be changed.
So you're running to represent the new constituency that includes here in Galway, and how do you think you'd balance when you're elected, how would you balance local issues that affect Galway and national issues that are important to the actual movement of the government on a day-to-day basis?
So I think there are very local issues. So I mean, like, one of the big things that's kind of complained about politicians, like fixing potholes. One of the things I'd like to fix is how all of that is dealt with. So I think we need to improve
taking the system from the inside.
Yeah, well, I think you need to strengthen the local authorities and the councils to be able to deal with this stuff. And I think you need to get this out of politicians' hands, so that it's just like you don't get preferential treatment just because you went to your politician to get it happen. I mean, we need to boost the capacity of our local authorities to deal with these issues, so that politicians just can't make any gains out of it. Now, until that happens, like there are issues, like our public services are at creaking point, and kind of like if there's a role I can play or my team can play to kind of keep all that working, then of course we'll do it. Then so you have local issues as well that are of kind of national relevance. So say, for example, our transport infrastructure in Galway, like Galway's economy needs to work well for Ireland's economy to work well. We don't have, our infrastructure is in quite poor condition, and so that's a national issue that I'd absolutely want to take on. And then one of the main roles as a legislator is to make sure that national legislation is brought through and implemented, and so on. I'll be looking very deeply at things around public services, particularly expanding access to childcare, how easy it is to set up a business, how we're funding communities. And not only is that important for to get right nationally, but it'll make a big difference here at home in Galway as well.
The left in Ireland has been, in recent years, has been dominated by these sort of anti-water, anti-austerity groups who seem to be kind of disorganized, and hence their political progress is limited. How important is it that well-organized, more traditional political parties on the left are able to become prominent once again?
Obviously the water issue, Irish water, I try to be very positive about things. Irish water has been a disaster from start to finish. I mean, in a time of deep economic recession, to spend money on, to invest money in almost €1 billion between water meters and consultants and on getting this company set up, was a terrible, terrible decision. It's also unfair in that you kind of you're taking a service from progressive taxation to a flat rate, where it doesn't matter anymore whether you earn €200,000 or €20,000, you pay more or less the same. So it was a bad investment, and it was unfair. So I mean, it's very understandable. I mean, everyone's angry about it. I'm angry about it. We need to put a big pause on this and see what, go back to the drawing board and see how we can salvage the situation, because it's been a disaster. I'm trying to I mean, in terms of my own politics, I'm kind of I'm center left, like Nordic model. I think that there should be a good grouping, or like the emergence of new forces in Irish politics, that will be well organized, that will be competent on the economy, that will have a much more positive, progressive social vision, and I'd like to be part of that movement.
And in terms of the system of what the next government is going to be after the next general election, how big a role in the next government do you think that both independent candidates and the new emerging parties, which there are several of on both sides, on the left and the right, how big a role will they play, and do you think they're going to expand in their popularity a great deal following that term of government?
I think it's anyone's guess at the moment. So, I mean, I could give you an opinion, but it's a guess like everyone else's. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'd like to see a big centre-left party come out, and I'd prefer not to be running as an independent. I think that politics is done best in teams, especially if you want to be there making the tough decisions. And so I'd like to see a big new centre-left party come out and play a big role in maybe not this government, but in future governments to come.
I guess.
Okay, so thanks for talking to us, and good luck in your campaign.
Yeah, thanks very much.
So thanks again to Niall O'Toole for speaking to us, and good luck to him in his upcoming campaign. Although, as we must remain impartial, good luck to all other candidates in the constituency also in equal measure. They are all also very, very great. And I'm sure we'll talk to them upcoming episodes of the 99% maybe.
We may do.
We may. So, Michael, what's BEAM?
Well,
I saw
this
BEAM
week
written here. Yeah. Looked to me like Bernie, and I thought it was about Bernie Sanders because I'm feeling the burn. But tell me about B.
Well, you know, this week is kind of, it's a huge tech week, and we might talk a little bit more about how it's such a big tech week. But BEAM launched last week, and it's basically, I don't know if you know, he's kind of a famous YouTube vlogger. His name is Casey Neistat.
Never heard of him.
Okay. Well, I've been watching his vlogs. He does daily vlogs. I've been watching his vlogs for like probably 2 to 3 months now. And basically, he just launched a new social. He's a filmmaker, an indie filmmaker turned YouTuber. And he basically set up this new social network. And the best way to describe it is like a stripped down version of Snapchat. So the way it works, it's like Snapchat if Snapchat was just Snapchat stories.
Looks like Snapchat meets Elo.
I guess it is. Yeah.
It doesn't really exist.
Elo never really took off, did it?
Yeah. No.
But it's, yeah, I mean, I guess it is. It's, so you can't message people. It's more like Twitter. Although Twitter does have direct messaging, but nobody uses it.
Nobody uses that.
Yeah, right. So it's a public face for yourself. So what you can do is it's video only. You can't take any photos. And it uses the phone's proximity sensor.
Now, I have no idea what that is.
So the proximity sensor is if you take a phone call and you put your phone up to your head, it turns off the screen so that you don't like mash the buttons on the screen when you put it up to your head. You know how the screen kind of turns off?
Yeah.
When you put it up to your head? That's called a proximity sensor. Basically, when it sees something coming close to the phone, it senses it and it'll turn off the screen. So the idea is that if you want to capture a moment and put it on your social network, you can just like put it up to your chest, put the phone up to your chest, point the camera out the way, and you're capturing the moment, but you're also seeing the moment. You're not looking at the moment through a phone screen. And it's actually, it's something that I've actually personally wanted to figure out for a long time, because you'd be at a concert, for example, and you might want to record a song, but you're there recording the song, you're looking at your phone screen, and you're not really having the full experience of the concert.
Yeah.
Right in front of you. You're looking at the concert through your phone screen. So it takes 4-second videos, But you can take as many 4-second videos as you want. You can take them all in, you know, rapid.
And they all then your friends can watch them in a row as exactly. They would with your Snapchat story.
It's exactly like a Snapchat story. So your friends can watch them. You have to hold down to watch mm-hmm. your the beams
a feature
or whatever
that is no longer available on Snapchat.
Right, and also a cool thing is your friends can reply to your. They can kind of respond to your beams by sending
these little reaction photos.
A reaction photo, like a selfie. So you could, but you can also send. You can send as many reaction photos as you want. So you could do mm-hmm. You could do a kind of a stop motion reaction, like video reaction, by just mm-hmm. spamming the reaction button. but it's kind of cool, I guess. There are definitely a lot of issues with it. Mm.
And how would the creator of a video view the reactions? How would they appear to them?
So they come up as...
You need to test it. You need to post something.
I know, yeah. So this is where the problems come up. Mm-hmm. Is because I actually can't test it right now.
And neither can I.
And neither can you. And the reason why is because the app is available for iPhone only. You can download the iPhone app onto your iPad, but you can't send anything from your iPad. It's
the settings and you can watch stuff, and it's really, really even more stripped down version of an app that is already very basic.
Yeah, so it's the main functionality of the app is completely lost. So they said they are working on an Android version. It's a good few months down the road. So we're going to be waiting a while. But I have loads of iPhones around my house. I've got loads of them. So I found one of my iPhones. I was like, okay, I'm going to bring this iPhone around with me just for a few days just so that I can try it out and send some stuff and see how the whole app works. And unfortunately, you have to have iOS 8.
Oh,
and
God.
I had an iPhone 4, which is just out of date, won't take iOS 8. And so I couldn't try it out. So my experience, I can't say much about Beam, the whole experience yet, because I've only been looking at people's beams. I haven't been able to send any myself or get reactions. But as soon as it comes out on Android, I'm gonna try it out and use it. It's quite buggy. They're doing an invite system to manage the number of people who are coming in.
Will I give our listeners the secret way to get in without an invite?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so just use invite code, please.
There you
works.
Go. Yeah,
works
so,
for everyone.
So they when it first came out, it was very hard to get Beam codes or invite codes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now they basically just put one out all the time. So anybody,
because Reddit came a calling and people figured it out.
Not quite. It's because when it first came out, their server infrastructure wasn't able to take the number of people, but they mm-hmm. completely overhaul the whole thing, and now they can take as many people as they.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty much impossible to overload the system, so they just don't have any problems anymore. So they're just sending out as many codes. I could send out as many unlock codes as I want as well, which is great.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah, that's Beam. I mean, it's a cool kind of thing. I think it's. I mean, it has so many users. Gain traction really quickly,
mm-hmm.
so it's probably something that could be. I don't know. It's quite similar to Snapchat, and obviously Snapchat has a much larger user base. But we'll see how it goes.
Mm, we'll see. So, Michael, have you a hot new track this week?
I do. So as you know, every week I come out with a new hot new track. I listen
hot
to
new tracks,
so
they just
much...
make my week. I listen to them all.
sometimes they're good, sometimes they're better than other times, but I listen to loads of music every week. I'm a musician, obviously, so I like listening to music. This week I have a new single from an oldie. This week's hot new track is Trouble, not by Taylor Swift but by Keith Richards. Have you listened to
Taylor Swift? Taylor Swift doesn't have a song called Trouble. She has a song called I Knew You Were Trouble.
That's the same thing.
Okay.
I'm not a Taylor Swift fan.
I'm just picking with specifics of grammar and such.
They know what I'm talking about. Trouble by Keith Richards. Just came out, new single. It's going to be on his new solo album, his third solo album, I want to say, to date. Mm-hmm. His last solo album was in the 90s, early 90s, I want to say.
I didn't know he'd had any solo albums.
Yeah, he did a few solo albums.
See, I'm from the generation that knows Keith Richards mostly as Jack Sparrow's dad, but they tell me he used to be in a band. Was it what, the Stone Roses or...
Yeah,
Rolling Stone.
Yeah, the Rolling Stones. Pretty good band. They're a really old band from the 60s. The Rolling Stones actually just came off their tour.
They did?
Their world tour or whatever it was. You know, they're too old for that.
Mick Jagger's stage behavior irritates me. He's a very annoying man.
But the music
He's over-energetic. He's old. He should like stand still for a while.
He should act like an old person. No. So the Rolling Stones kind of came out.
I respect.
Yeah. Like the Rolling Stones came out with an album, is it 2 years ago? Where they basically re-recorded like all their old songs and then they put in two new songs in there as well, which was super cool. And now Keith Richards is coming out with a new album. I love the single. It's like, it has this really like Stonesy. Keith Richards is such a great rhythm guitarist. He's not a great lead guitarist, but he's got like such a great signature sound. It's like that kind of, it's real rock and roll. And the intro is really like that. Let me play the song for you and you can make up your own mind.
Off the streets again. That don't mean that I can't help you, or I ain't your friend. Maybe trouble is your middle name.
This would be good for a road trip.
You know, it really would. It's a really kind of a on the road song. He's not a good singer in any way, shape, or form. He's been chain smoking for like his entire life.
Since he was about two.
Huh?
Since he was about 2 years old.
Since
he was
about 2 years old. Since he was born.
His lungs are just gone.
I don't know how he's still alive. But
it's a great song.
It's just got this... I mean, they have Steve Jordan on the drums. Like one of my all-time favorite drummers. He's just got such a great rhythm. He also produced it. And it was in his recording studio. He's brilliant. He recently did Robert Cray's new album. He produces so much stuff. He's an unbelievably good drummer and unbelievably good producer.
Cool.
So his new album should be coming out soon. That's just the single. They haven't actually released like any details about the album yet, as far as I'm aware of. But that's my hot new track of the week. Hope you enjoy it.
Nice. Time now for my weekly recommendation segment, and it's Nicolas Cage film of the week featuring Bill Murray the president.
Nicolas Cage film of the week.
The week. There you go. I sang over it live this week. So this week's Nicolas Cage film of the week is a little film called It Could Happen to You. Now, this is a romantic comedy from 1994, back when Nicolas Cage was the lead in romantic comedies, believe it or not. Co-stars the lovely Bridget Fonda and several other people. Stanley Tucci's in it in a small role. Richard Jenkins. They've both got supporting roles. They're both terrific actors. He plays a cop who wins the lottery, and then he and his wife get wealthy, I guess, although they're not married, but she's a waitress. Anyway, I saw it a few years ago. It's a nice film. You know, it's the summer. You've nothing better to do. You want to watch a Nicolas Cage film. Not something too heavy. You don't want something really intense like Adaptation or something really fast-paced and action-packed like National Treasure, Book of Secrets. So why not go for something nice and and fun. Like, it could happen to you, and it's rated PG, which we can't say for that many Nicolas Cage films. PG film, suitable for the whole family.
Great choice.
Have you seen it, Michael?
I have not.
Of course not. You've seen none of these films.
No.
You're so uneducated in the art of Nicolas Cage.
Gone in 60 Unlike- Seconds is great. I love Gone in 60 Seconds.
We'll do that in the next few weeks. And I'll go on a rant about its attitudes towards women and the homosexual community.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, it's a movie. It's supposed to portray a certain kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool.
And wait, I shall do non-Nicolas Cage film of the week.
Okay.
Not featuring Bill Murray as president. What? Which is Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the big new release this week. One of my most anticipated films of the year. I love the Mission Impossible franchise. These movies are great. They're so much fun. Tom Cruise is the man when he's jumping off of stuff.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
I don't like Tom Cruise, but...
This is another very good entry in the franchise. I won't say great, because it's not great. It's no Ghost Protocol. I mean, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol is a classic. I love Ghost Protocol. Really love it.
I think they're all kind of... They're all must-watch.
One, three, the first one.
Yeah, two
Mission
was
Impossible
just...
Three,
two was
Ghost
so
Protocol
weird.
Are all great. Second one's is decent.
It's okay. Yeah.
This is Rogue Nation's about as good as the third one. It's quite similar.
Okay.
It's very Hitchcockian. I love me some Hitchcock, and it's got a lot of references to 39 Steps and The Man Who Knew Too Much, North by Northwest. There's the third act is all set in kind of the misty, smoky streets of London, and it's very atmospheric. Simon Pegg is great in it. Rebecca Ferguson, she's sort of a newcomer. She's really good. Alec Baldwin gets some stuff to do, and no, it's a lot of fun, and it's not too long. It's not too long, which is great. It's only about just 2 hours, which cool. I'm sick of watching blockbusters that are 3 hours long. It gives me a headache, although I have a headache anyway, so what can you say? But no, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, it's no Inside Out, it's no Eden, but it's still rather good, and I would recommend it to people who want to see that.
I ended up having to see Inside Out twice.
Lucky you. I've seen it three times, but, you know.
I ended up seeing it twice, like, in 2 days.
Within 24 hours.
Within 24 hours. Which was cool. I saw it on opening day, and then I saw it the day after opening day. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it just as much the second time.
Oh, so did I. I've seen it three times now. I'd say I enjoyed it more the third time. It's a film, it really grows upon repeat viewings, and there's so much detail to it. There's so much detail.
It's a great movie.
And there's so much profundity. Oh, it's great. Yeah. I'm not sure how Mission Impossible Rogue Nation will hold up on repeat viewings, but Ghost Protocol has pretty well, but I think that's a more complex film than Rogue Nation is. But anyway. Anything else, Michael?
Regarding Mission Impossible? Nope. I think I have to go
regarding
see it.
Regarding the things that affect society today.
Oh, have we got time for some more?
Well, tell me briefly about these Father Ted Rothsteins.
Well, you know, the Irish government, they're always looking for innovative ways to make our roads safer. And so... Their latest... This is straight from the top. I'm pretty sure Enda himself came up with this idea.
I very much think so.
He sits down and he's like, lads, I've got a great idea. Father Ted road signs. We put Mrs. Doyle up on the side of the road, right? And she's like, pull over if you're tired. Have a cup of tea, sure. Right? So this is... this is their new initiative. So this weekend... In the county of Mayo, if you're living in the county of Mayo, keep an eye out.
Stop listening to our podcast. We don't want you here.
No, we do, because we want you to send emails to us. Send an email to me or to the show. What is it? 99pshow@gmail.com. Send an email to us if you see one of these signs in the county of Mayo this weekend, because they have signs of Mrs. Doyle from Father Ted. And she's got a cup of tea in her hand, and she's like, pull over, have a cup of tea. Basically, the whole idea is that if you are tired, they're recommending that you pull over and have a caffeinated beverage.
That's a good idea.
So it's I don't know if it's going to do anything. It'll remind people for sure, but
it's good advertising for Father Ted. Yeah.
It's great advertising for Father Ted, which I'm sure they're still making loads of money off. Yeah, and I guess we should probably mention Windows 10 very briefly.
Because
it's like it's a pretty huge, not just tech release, but for everybody release.
They're bringing back the start button, right?
They brought back the start button in Windows 8.1 due to popular demand.
They're bringing back the main menu, right?
We brought back the start button. We listened to you, people. but they didn't bring the start menu back. And Windows 10 brings back the start menu. Windows 10 is an incredibly good operating system. I messed with the dev version when it was out. It came out this week. But they're bringing it out in a staggered release. So you sign up if you, and here's the crazy thing: Microsoft have never done this before. If you have Windows 7 or Windows 8, you get a free upgrade to Windows 10.
Nice,
which is pretty sweet. And they're obviously doing this to bring the adoption rate up. Windows has like the lowest adoption rate ever.
Wow.
Windows 8 had a 2% adoption rate within the first year, 2 or 3% adoption rate. That is, in comparison to Apple's, like, 90%, 80% adoption rates. So
that's pretty bad.
It's very bad. So this is, like, Microsoft's attempt to bring adoption. And plus, Microsoft aren't going to lose any money in this because Microsoft make all their money from OEMs, from selling Windows on brand-new laptops and brand-new computers. So this is great. I think this is fantastic. Like, it's an unbelievably good operating system. It's like everything great about Windows 8 and everything great about Windows 7 wrapped into one. So I'm really excited about it. I'm going to download it, install it onto one of my many laptops here. I'm probably going to start using it more. I haven't used Windows in a very long time. So it's gotten me excited about using Windows again.
I have never owned a Windows desktop device, but I love my Windows phone. It's great.
So they have a Windows Phone 10 coming out sometime as well. It'll be like just within the next few months. That release will come out obviously staggered as well for users, but you should be expecting possibly an update. Your phone is kind of an older model though, right?
Sort of. I mean, I got the most recent update about 3 months after the first people did, I think. So.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good at keeping their devices up to date and stuff, which is more than can be said for Apple with their iPhone 4. I can't get iOS 8 on the iPhone 4. It's ridiculous. But so it's really excited. If you're interested in updating, I would recommend wait a little while if your main computer is Windows. If you just want to mess around with it, you can download it right now. They do have like a pre-order thing where you have to wait to upgrade your system, but you can actually just download it, install it now, and it'll automatically detect your license and give you the free upgrade, so you don't have to wait, which is kind of a little bit of a hack, but that's what I'm going to be doing. So that's it. Yeah.
Okay. So
I think we should wrap it up there.
Wrap it up. So the 99% is a co-production of Carb Digital and BuzzHub Entertainment. I love Carb Digital, as I say every week. I really do. I dream about Carb Digital every night.
Really?
I have passionate dreams about Carb Digital. They're a wonderful company based here in Galway. They design websites. They host your sites. They do a great job. Great rates, great customer service, really delightful staff. I have no clue who runs the company, but whoever they are, they're a real nice person. Hey, Michael, tell me about BuzzHub Entertainment.
Hey, Lucien, I run Carb Digital. It's my business.
Good one, Michael.
If you're interested in websites, contact me. BuzzHub, if you want Lucien's review, his full...
Of Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Review of Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, Inside Out, any of those new releases you're thinking.
And and just published my one-star review of the new Adam Sandler movie, Pixels, which is the worst portrayals of women in any Hollywood film I've possibly ever seen. You can read all about the, not-so-casual misogyny in Pixels now at buzzhub.info.
That sounds like a must-read. Go to buzzhub.info. It's the place that you should go for all of your movie and TV show news.
What's with all these questions? What is this? Hollywood stars and celebrities? Do they know things? What do they know? Let's find out. No one is going to get that joke.
I don't even get it.
I know. No one's going to get that joke. Anyway, if you get the joke, you know, congratulations. Send me a message. So you can get our latest episodes and all of the information about the show at 99pshow.com. It's as simple as that. You can follow us on Twitter. We are twitter.com/99pshow, facebook.com/99pshow. Be sure to like us and share with all your friends. Instagram.com/99pshow, where we post behind-the-scenes photos every time we record in person together, which is every week.
That is not a true statement.
Okay. And you can subscribe to the podcast on all your favorite podcasting services like iTunes, Stitcher, and more. Absolutely. I love Stitcher, even though they killed somebody's family. They're still good. They didn't actually do that. That was a joke. Sorry, Stitcher.
Inside joke.
I love you.
Stitcher's great.
We joke. Join us next week for another fantastic episode of the 99% with weeks of planning in advance.
Nobody knows what will happen.
Nobody knows. We will be interviewing none other than Donald Trump.
Yes.
You know what?
Stay tuned.
I'm a man of my word, and now that I've said it, I'm going to have to find a way to follow through with this, Michael. Michael, we need to go to Donald Trump's house and kidnap him like right away. We have to do this.
I think we do. All right.
You bring the rope, and I'll bring the super glue.
Perfect.
And let's, we will have Donald Trump on next week's episode.
Coming up for you next week's show. All right, let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Thank you for listening, everybody. And as we always say, Michael, what are you going to say to close out the show today?
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Adios, amigos. It's your fault for starting. Thank you.